Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker. You can also find me on the Game Brain podcast, and joining me on this wonderful, wonderful Wednesday, happy hump day, everyone. It's Ronnie Karam. What's going on, Ronnie?
Hi, happy hump day.
Today I feel confident about my humpy posture.
Oh, me too. I feel like I'm really going to embrace my lovely lady humps, okay? So, I have to say, first and foremost, that this is a Crappens on Demand episode. And for those who are uninitiated, that means that you can go onto Patreon and support at the Crappens on Demand level. And then not only do you get to hear our voices, you can watch us, because we're actually streaming this to video, as most things are streamed. And the reason why I'm particularly happy about that today is because we usually give ourselves little nicknames on our screen. And Ronnie's is hilarious. Ronnie's is Ronnie Tevye Discriminated Me Karam. Because, of course, we're talking Real Housewives of New York today. Before we jump into that, though, Ronnie, have I even let you to say a single word since we started this episode?
I don't need to. I love this. This is great.
I'm like, wait a second. Ronnie hasn't said even hello yet. I'm just
do
like,
do the whole episode like this. Works for me. Day off.
Yeah, well, first of all, for anyone who thought that Ronnie and I were in a huge fight in our Potomac episode, we're not in a fight. There was some weird audio sync thing that made it sound like after everything that Ronnie said, I was just like, yeah. But it was just a sync. It was just an audio
sync. Yeah, sorry. That was my bad. I was producing it that day, and I listened to the beginning, but I didn't listen to the end. Okay? And if you're just off like a little bit by the end, it's terrible. And I didn't see it until the next day, which means everybody got that episode basically incorrect. And I went to listen to it the next day. And just the way that it, you know, because depending on how, I mean, I'm talking over you the whole time, which I guess people are used to anyway.
I do. But then
it's like I'm talking over you, and then it's just a really long pause, and you can just hear you sound how you sound when you're listening to me, which is normal. You're just like like you just hear like little mouth noises and the occasional sigh, and so it sounds like you just hate my guts.
No, far from it. It's like that there used to be like a Tumblr or a blog called like Garfield Without Garfield, and someone like took Garfield cartoons and erased Garfield out of them, so it was just Dave talking to himself. And it becomes this like sad existential cartoon, and that's kind of, I guess, what happened to our podcast.
Yeah.
But yeah, the other thing I wanted to mention, though, in some shameless self promotion, you know, I write some stuff for The Dip every now and then, which is a really cool website. It's like a pop culture news website, sort of like Vulture, you know. And I have been writing Peloton stuff. But guess what? Today, I changed it up, and I wrote something about Love Island UK. I did a ranking of every single Love Island UK cast member from worst to best, leading up to about like episode 30 so far, pre-Casa Amor. So there are no spoilers. There are no spoilers going forward, because like in the UK, they're like 2 weeks ahead of us. So there's no UK spoilers. But if you haven't watched up through episode 30, there may be some small spoilers. But that being said, if you're watching the show and hopelessly addicted the way I am, then maybe go check out the website. I'll put up a link somewhere on like Twitter or social media, but I just wanted to promote that so people go read it, okay? Thanks.
Okay. Don't discriminate Ben, okay?
Don't discriminate.
What? They discriminated me, okay?
You didn't read my article, you boycotted me, okay? I was boycotted by the Jews, okay?
The Jews were so mean to my Dip article, okay?
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Real Housewives of New York. What a hilarious episode. We knew it would be.
What a hilarious, but one of the most offensive episodes that's ever that's ever aired. I mean, wow, Ramona. Wow. I mean, I was laughing so hard, but even I was taken aback. Okay. Wow, Ramona.
I feel like this episode was a great service to us Jews. For people who don't know, I'm a member of the tribe, and I feel like it was a great service because it showed that Shabbat could just be hilarious and fun. Even if, you know, offensive, but like...
Well, one of my questions, you know, my best friend growing up was Jewish, David Bowman, okay? He was Mexican-Jewish, and he was my best friend, and so I went to Hebrew school with him after school, not really because I was interested. No one there was interested either. We're all kids, you know, just because my mom was like, you're going with David today. You know, and so I knew like the prayer that Leah was singing at the beginning of this. Like, I'm, you know, I'm qualified, guys. Okay. I've been educated. But I remember as a kid, I would always tell David and his friends, you know, his Jewish friends from Hebrew school, I'd be like, why do you guys have your own private things all the time? Because normally they would have all these dinner. Like, if it's Christmas at my house, I want all my friends there, whoever I can get over there. But their parents would have everybody like kind of separated. And he was like, no, it's just like that because a lot of people don't understand Judaism, you know? And so when you have people who don't understand it, it seems weird to them because it's just different. It's just a different culture, like, duh. But as a kid, I was like, oh, I get it, you know, because all the certain prayers and the way you light the candles and stuff like that. Well, after watching this episode, I definitely get it. Like, if this is anything close to what it looks like, you know, stay insular. I'm like, God, Ramona.
I actually have to say that my Jewish experience with Shabbat is pretty minimal. Like, we actually grew up not doing Shabbat really ever, like once in a blue moon. But generally speaking, Shabbat was not really part of our weekly life. So I can't be one of these Jews that comes up here and is like, let me talk on behalf of all Judaism. I know I'm not representative. I don't know who, you know, different households celebrate in different ways, but I never got the impression that Shabbat was ever anything like super exclusive. Although I would have loved that because I love an exclusive engagement, but I think it was pretty open. But I think there is some weird, there's some, I think maybe a stereotype that people have. I remember one time when I was much younger that I remember talking to someone, I don't even remember who, but they thought that, Judaism, like, was like exclusive and that, like, if you wanted to go pray at synagogue, you had to buy a ticket, which is like, no, that's not what happened, at least not in my synagogue. But, so there may be some weird, like, stereotypes or misconceptions that float around Judaism about exclusive rituals. But I, as far as I can tell, as far as my personal Jewish journey,
I think it was just open. As a kid, you know, it was like as a kid, cause all my Jewish friends, like there weren't a ton of Jewish people in El Paso, first of all, you know, like El Paso, Texas. It was mostly like really Christian, really super Christian. And so, I would always be kind of jealous because, of course, I knew everything going on because my best friend was Jewish. So he'd be like, well, I have to go do this Jewish thing tonight or whatever. And I was like, well, I get to come to the Jewish thing. You know, it's always like feeling left out.
Welcome to being a Jew around Christmas, by the way. Yeah, I don't know. I get to have Christmas presents.
Well, you guys have 8 days of it. And then his parents overcompensated on those 8 days because he had so many, you know, friends who weren't Jewish. So they had, you know, we'd get all this badass stuff for Christmas. So then he'd get 8 days of badass stuff, you know? No. So, I mean, I feel like Ramon, okay?
You know what?
I would go to bed and I would cry and say, why aren't I Jewish? Okay? Why aren't I Jewish? I would cry.
No, we did not have like 8 nights of Christmas. That was not what Hanukkah was like. It was like the first night I would get a Hess truck and maybe a book about origami. I think I've mentioned that before. I'd get like usually a book or something and a Hess truck, maybe something else. Maybe something on the second night. And then the rest of the nights were just like lighting candles. I mean, that was not in our household. My parents were like, there's no way we're giving our children gifts like for 8 nights in a row. That's not happening. Sorry. We will not be doing that. So, so for me, I was definitely pining for those Christmas gifts. So look at us. Yeah. Pining for what each other's religion can offer.
You see? What material things each other's religion can bring into our lives.
We basically just always had religion FOMO. That's just the story of Ben and Ronnie.
Yeah, because like the first day he would get something badass and I would be so jealous because we didn't have Christmas for a long time. And then the second day he would get like socks. And I was like, okay, yeah, well, it does, you know, being Christian thing is better. And then the next day you would get something better. Like you just really never knew, you know?
Yeah. Well, by the way, there's also 12 days of Christmas for some people.
Oh, God. Right? So, you know, it doesn't mean anything unless it's just the song.
Well, but you all wait, but you know what you also get? You also get nativity calendars.
Not nativity, advent. That's the best part. The best part was sneaking out the shit from the advent calendar and then closing it back up in a way that they couldn't tell I was stealing from the advent calendar. But then, of course, that comes to bite you back on the ass, because then the next day comes and shit's missing from there, and then I get beat.
It's like a Ponzi scheme. It's like a candy Ponzi scheme.
I'm going to steal Christmas Eve to put on December 7th, because I already ate that one.
Yeah. Oh, the point is this: Christmas has some really good built-in candy hype men going on that Hanukkah does not have, even though Hanukkah does have guilt.
Guilt?
Well, guilt, but also gelt. Gelt are the chocolate coins.
Oh. Well, yeah, I was going to say, I think every religion has guilt.
Guilt is pretty strong.
Which leads to the chocolate calendars, okay?
And you never feel more guilt than when you cash in your advanced candy from the advent calendar. That's the guilt right there. The telltale heart, it's like the telltale chocolate bell, or whatever it is.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's get to this episode.
Great examination of religion, Ronnie.
Yeah, wasn't it? Super deep. So if you guys are wondering why we're taking so long to get anywhere, it's because we opened at Leah's apartment again. Why are we always opening at Leah's apartment?
Thank you.
Why? Every episode, like, is Leah that girl of the season that we're all supposed to just love Leah? Okay, stop opening at Leah's house.
Yeah, they've really misjudged this. It's just, that's what's, I guess, sort of surprising this season is some of these beats that the producers have been always so good for so many years on really knowing what we want to see. And they have really messed it up, by leading us off with Leah every single week. I think it's because Leah last year, everyone loved Leah and they were saying like the best Bravo debut of all time. And so I think they kind of like misjudged. They didn't realize how in the off season everyone started to hate Leah. I don't like hate Leah, but I don't think that she's
I don't hate Leah
season every single week.
Or
episode every single week.
Yeah, agreed. Especially if she's just playing with her dog.
Okay? Every time. And
every single
uncharismatic dog. I'm sorry. No Coco.
Yeah.
She's no Coco.
Yeah, Angel. Yeah, learn to sing. Do something. Take tap class. Okay. You're boring me, Angel.
Give us a monologue.
Angel Marie. So then she's playing with the dog, and then I put plays with Angel, no one cares. That's my note. So then she's looking through her not Bible, but
it's a siddur.
A siddur, which is Shannon Bedore. She was Jewish. Okay.
Shannon Bedore. She's
David, 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 David,
David,
David, David.
40 to 50 Jewish thoughts. Here lies Shannon Bedore, killed by a goyim. So I could do Jewish Shannon Bedore for a whole hour, Ronnie. Don't get me started. So so no, she's reading from the siddur and she's practicing her prayer for Shabbat, and she's just like Baruch Ata Eloheinu. She gets stuck on Melech. So then she starts FaceTiming with Ebony. And she's like, oh my God, it's like weird looking myself on this, because like my hair is the same. It's like the same color as my face and my skin. So I like look bald. And Ebony goes, no, you look like Nicole Kidman. I'm sorry. I don't know if I want that as my like, you feel better about yourself. You actually look like Nicole Kidman. I'm like, we all saw that show with Hugh Grant, right?
Well, Nicole Kidman is very beautiful, but she is a really scary white lady from my nightmares. Like, I think if people are ever scared of white ladies, it's Nicole Kidman playing the role. Have you seen the new show she's coming out in? And this is what I'm referring to when I say scary white lady. The role she's playing in this new film, she looks terrifying. Like, she's relying on her Scientology days, I guess, whatever, for this role. Because she's some creepy lady in a new age place, and she comes into Melissa McCarthy's room at a spa, and she's like, what are you feeling right now, Melissa McCarthy?
Are you going to watch that? I'll watch it if you
hell watch yes. it. Hell yes. Of okay, course I'm going to watch it. Okay. Yes, hell yes I'm going to watch it.
It's Nicole Kidman being a new age leader. I mean, how do we not, right? I mean, it's basically Leah McSweeney.
I think it's based on a book that Big Lies was based off of, and I read that author sometimes. I read her silly books.
Wow. So
it's good betrayed. Good betrayed.
Leah's practicing her Shabbat prayers, and she's like, Hebrew's like really hard. I mean, like the sound, like that just like doesn't sound feminine. I mean, it's a beautiful language. when it's spoken by someone who knows how to speak it, right? Like,
married to the. I'm followed by bad girl.
Like, I'm like, I don't believe that Hebrew is actually that lovely to listen to. But Leah's version is definitely way worse than she's doing Hebrew already. She's doing Hebrew dirty a little bit there.
So she talks about hanging her mezuzah, and Ebony's like, oh my gosh, well, my ex got a mezuzah, but we never even hung it. Here it is. And so she shows her hers. And then Leah, of course, has one that's like in pink glass. It's like a pink glass.
She like got it from like Supreme mezuzah or something. I'm like, where'd you get that mezuzah? It was cool, actually. I liked it. Yeah, and they're joking about like big mezuzah energy, and like the bigger mezuzah, the bigger the mezuzah, the less insecure I feel about converting. So yeah.
So Ebony's like, so I'm so excited about this event because you're going to meet my friend Archie. And she's like, and don't love her too much because, you know, you're two tall blondes, you know, and I don't want you to run away and just forget all about me. Okay, so we're going to have you reading prayers coming up after this message. And then Ebony tells us how excited she is for this whole thing. And then we finally get to leave Leah's house and start the show. Okay.
Yeah, it took a while. So we go from Ebony's place over to, well, I now have a lot, my notes just closed. Okay, so we go from there. So now we go with Ramona, okay? She's going on a listing with her friend / mentor, Michael Lorber, okay? So I think one thing that we missed when we first saw this guy earlier this season, which some people pointed out, I believe he was he on the first season of Million Dollar Listing New York? Was he a cast member of that? He might have been. I don't know. That's what
he was, bonus. And I watched it, and I don't really remember him, so that goes to show you. Sorry, Michael Lorber.
You're cut. Sorry, Michael Lorber. Okay.
You cut, Michael Lorber. And this poor guy has been trying to make it on Bravo for years because Sonia mentions labor. Could you imagine? Sonia's like, oh, my God, labor. That would have made this much better, Sonia Morgan's labor. But she mentioned later in the episode that she was best friends with a Jew named Michael Lorber.
Yeah. Michael Lorber, yeah. I mean, yeah, it was a very exciting episode to be Jewish and to be, you know, brought to the spotlight of being the best friend. Like, some of my best friends are Jewish. I know someone who's Jewish. So so Michael's client or / friend, Jordan, comes up. They're in this beautiful, giant apartment somewhere, like, up in the clouds. And he's like, Michael's like, you know, the one thing that I know is like very hard, Ramona, is that, you know, you get a little disoriented in an apartment, but you have to remember which way is north and which way is south. She goes, oh, you know what? Like, okay, I know that this way is west, okay? But in the bedroom, I get confused because she starts like pointing about how she gets confused. And he starts to say something, he goes, shh, no, this is why I get confused. Okay, shh, 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 okay? Because you know what? When you face the East River, I was thinking that's east, but you know what was north? And then it turns out that was top and that was dumb, and I wasn't sure, and I was lying in my bed, and everything was swirling, and east is west, and north is west, and north by northwest is a great movie, okay? I'm sorry, okay?
And she's, like, so mean to this guy, and just, like, in a shitty mood, and won't even look at him. Like, she's treating Michael Lorber like crap, which kind of cracks me up. So then the client comes up, and she's like, whoa, you know what? I'm Ramona. How are you? Pleasure, pleasure, okay? I'm so glad you came over the bridge. Well, it's not a bridge, because you came from Connecticut, okay? And he's like, yep, still a bridge. Okay, this is an island, so everybody comes over the bridge.
Okay. This guy is, by the way, the most New York person I can imagine, right? Like, the most New York, like, works in law or finance. He's so New York-y, you know? So she goes, okay, you know what? Let's just start with the presence of how you just walk into the apartment, get this long hallway with beautiful 12-foot ceilings. Of course, I don't measure in feet. I measure in Averys, okay? You can stack 3 Averys there, okay? 3 Avery-high ceilings, all right? Luxury.
Well, you know what? This is called a kitchen, okay? It's where people keep the drinks and the food, and also where Mario banged somebody that I had to find out about on page 6, okay? You know what? Page 6 is the New York Times, which is north. It's north of where we are, okay?
You know what? Let's just look at this roof, okay? That's it. That's all, okay? Let's look at it and let's just, like, not say a word, okay? You don't get views like this unless you're in another apartment that's equally as high, okay? All right? So just let's take it in, all right? So then Michael says something.
Oh, by the way, I'm so sorry, but that was the New York Post I meant, not the New York Times. I just heard New Yorkers slapping the seat of the subway, okay? Sorry.
But you were in character as Ramona. You're in character as Ramona, so it's acceptable.
Character.
You know what? It's good character. So Michael starts to say something. Ramona just like slaps his arm. Like not just like a, not like a little like a.
Punches
she,
him.
She just like, like thwacks him. Just.
Yeah.
And then I think she remembers she's actually on camera. She just abused her mentor whose father owns the entire like real estate company.
I know. She goes, I'm talking, okay? You what? I didn't mean to hit him, okay?
And he's like, I feel like we won't do that much during showings. And so she grabs him by the arms and starts shaking him. And she's like, you know what? I'm supposed to be talking, so be quiet, okay? I'm in my mood.
In my mojo, okay? So then she's like, okay, so let's walk over here. Like, look over here. You know what you can see? There's a ceiling. And the way the ceiling is held up is because there's walls. There's a concept called walls. We got walls. And the reason why you can see through the walls, we got something called windows, okay? Windows and walls. An exclusive feature, okay?
You know what? You look out there. There's balconies that wrap around. And that's why they have such good views, okay? And the reason they're able to do that is because they have supports on the terrace.
And he's like, really? There's not just floating terraces? Please tell me the elevators don't have lifts in them or I'm out of here, okay?
If you don't put supports out there, then the terraces win, okay? So then, stupid joke.
Commercials, here comes one right now.
So she's like, you know what? I can make a floor plan for you if you want. Like, we can find a place for your baby grand. And he's like, I don't actually have a baby grand. Oh, I'm sorry. That's just my code word for your slutty mistress. I call them all baby grand. So wherever you want to put her, we can figure out a place, okay?
And when he says he doesn't have a baby grand, she goes, but I thought you'd like to entertain.
Yeah. Everyone knows the key to entertaining. Have a stock bar, plenty of ice, and a baby grand piano.
A baby grand. Whoa, look at those windows. You know what? Look, there's a view. Whoa, whoa, I'm vertigo. Whoa, look at that. Whoa, vertigo. Wow, whoa.
Whoa, if I close my eyes, watch what happens. Ramona just crashes the window and falls to her death. By the way, I don't want that. I don't want my realtor saying that. Like, oh, these windows are so crazy, they're giving me vertigo. That's actually not a feature. I don't want a vertigo-inducing window in my new house.
Yeah, Ramona's terrifying. I don't know who's ever going to buy an apartment from Ramona. Although, I do watch a show called Selling New York. Have you ever seen that one?
No, I haven't.
It's like a really low rent. No, it's a very. That's what I thought Selling Sunset was going to be, which is why I gave it time before I watched it. Because I was like, oh, it's another Selling New York. Because they do have them in different cities. But Selling New York is like a lower rent $1 million listing. But it's more about just showing the apartments. And they have this lady who's really old on it. And she's got her two daughters who are like, oh my God, we're so cosmopolitan. And they go show apartments together. And just the older lady cracks me up. Because it makes me think of Ramona. But she's got a calmer vibe to her. She's like, oh, you're doing a film about being popular? Well, I'll tell you what's popular. A nice apartment.
It's like Fran Lebowitz. Sean, it's like, yes, I don't understand what the point is. Why do you even have to have an apartment, okay? What, you know what you do? You go to a shelter, and you bring some blankets, and you sleep there for the night. That's all you do. And then what you do during the day, you walk around. You walk around, you look at the buildings are up high. People are looking at the sidewalks. You think, why are people even here? Why even bother having a house with all these morons all around you? Am I right? Okay, so it's $3 million for asking. We could probably get it down to 2.9, but honestly, I really don't care. I don't even like you very much. I'm not even a realtor. Okay, come on.
Okay, you know what? Down here's your washer and dryer, and here's your garbage disposal.
And Michael's like, that's a trash chute, actually. The garbage disposal is in the sink. And he's like, okay, so I'm going to put trash down the sink.
You know what? It's where you dispose of your garbage. What do you want from me, okay? Mr. Leon Sink misnamed the sink thing, so it should be called the food goggler or whatever, okay? Shut up, Michael Lorber, okay? Shut up, Michael Lorber.
And then they're walking around these, like, nice, fresh new floors, and Ramona has heels on. So Michael's like getting mad because she's got heels, and then she keeps dancing. She's like, you know what? I don't have to wear booties because he's saying she should put on the little soft felt things that you put on furniture. She's like, I don't have to. And she's dancing, and he's like going crazy. He's like, don't scuff the floors. She's like, you know what? You know what Michael Lorba doesn't know is that I have rubber bottoms, okay? So I'm not ruining the floors, okay? But I'm not going to correct him in front of his client, okay? I'm just going to slap him in the face. Sorry.
Yeah, so there's like black marks all over the floor by the time she leaves. So Michael's like, well, you know what? I think she's going to do great, right? Because she's very tough. She goes, what? What do you mean? How am I tough? And he goes, I mean, you're tough and assertive. And also, I've got five bruises. She's like, you know what? That's why I can't find a boyfriend, okay? Because you poop on them, okay? You can't find a boyfriend if there's a little pile of poop on every seat that you eat, you know, at the restaurant where you have dinner at, Ramona, okay?
I've been discriminated by every boyfriend I could possibly have, okay? Potential boyfriends boycott me, okay? I'm sorry. Stay class set.
So then we go to Ebony's house and we meet Linda Doyle, genetic investigator. Listen, I don't want to know, okay? I feel like my DNA is terrifying. I don't want to know what's in there. I don't want to know what it's made out of. It reminds me of one of those commercials where they have kids reading the back of an ice cream box, you know? And they're like, aspartame mixathacata. What is that? That's probably what's in my DNA. Just like shit.
Sounds like Teresa Giudice.
They should have a cartoon. They should have an ice cream commercial where Teresa's just trying to read the back of a box, the ingredients.
Yeah, so we have Linda Doyle, genetic investigator. She sounds like some new Janet Ivanovich protagonist, right? Like Linda Doyle. She's a genetic investigator and she just loves crocheting, but she also solves crime, right?
Her new show on Discovery Plus. No, we're a team of genetic investigators. Whoa, some DNA's behind that door. I felt it.
So Linda's like, well, thanks so much for getting a hold of me. I'm really excited to do this, etc. And Ebony's like, well, I don't know anything about my family tree and I don't have all the answers about my paternity. But like, you know, the one lead I did have was a beautiful, wonderful woman named Ashley, who grew up being told I was her sister. The poor deer. Oh, that poor deer. Turns out I'm not related to that deer. So, oh, anyway, that's it for tonight. We'll catch you tomorrow night on the news at 6 p.m. Yeah. All right.
Did you notice through this whole scene, Ebony was holding a pen like she's on the news? The funniest thing. She was holding it just like this and talking with it, even though she wasn't writing anything down. Like she was showing stuff on her phone, but she held the pen like this the whole time and kept talking like she's on the news.
I love a prop that doesn't get used. I love that.
The news prop. It was so funny. Yeah, so she's like, well, look, I already did Ancestry.com, you know, and I didn't get any big reveals from that. And lady's like, well, let me see that. Well, who is this person right here? That's a very close match. Hey, Linda, or whatever your name is, genetic investigator, don't be cheating. You're on national television. Don't be looking at 23andMe. Do something better, you know?
No.
I want to see her, like, rifling through Ebony's trash or, like, being like, hey, can I offer you a Diet Coke? And then she takes a Diet Coke and she slips it in her purse. She's like, oh, I've got her DNA secretly.
You're really turning her into more of a PBS Masterpiece Theater investigator, aren't you? Like a cute little flute is playing while she's doing all this stuff. So Linda explains her method, which is basically, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to do a clustering analysis, which means that there's going to be two clusters on the maternal side and two more clusters on the paternal side, and then maybe some nut clusters for breakfast, because I do get hungry, and then we're going to look at all those clusters, and we're going to see, is there a nut cluster? Do those clusters like nut clusters? Because it's a real cluster F, if you know what I'm saying. High five. I always use that joke. Anyway, out of those clusters, your parent is a squirrel. We found it out.
I've done some investigating, and it turns out you're part miniature donkey. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Fisifus actually drank from this Diet Coke can before I gave it to you. Ha ha! Lisa Vanderpump, the genetic explorer.
Oh, Pandy's pregnant, by the way. We didn't mention that.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. You're going to have somebody to follow you around in tiny little matching pashminas.
Yeah, we actually did mention that. Well, it's a double congratulations. So Linda's going to basically take a week for her to analyze all those clusters. And Ebony is like, so I might know additional family by Christmas. And Linda's like, oh, that would be the best. I would love to do that for you. Okay, off to go investigating. And then she like, I was just imagining like a little bicycle just appears and she just like bikes off and like waves and has a little raincoat. And it's charming and investigatory. You know?
Yeah, I just want... I'm not buying this whole storyline, and here's why. I feel like if you were really looking for family, you wouldn't want them right before Christmas, because that's just more shit you have to buy. If you want a family, you need them at the new year, okay? You don't have to buy them anything for at least another year, and you get to see if they're even worth it.
That's a very good point. That's a very, very good point. Yeah.
Thank you.
I like that.
So then we go to Sonia's date with the marrying type, at a restaurant, David Burke Tavern. Mm. So she's meeting Brad, who, look, I would be attracted to Brad too, because he doesn't look like he has long to live. He's very like, like he gets up to say hi to Sonia, but this is how he gets up. He's like, hello. It's like, wow, so you're just going to lean forward? Is that your version of getting up, sir?
Yeah, I mean, to take it back to like my Jewish upbringing, I do feel like he's someone I would meet at synagogue. Like, I feel like everyone's met him at synagogue. He belongs to everyone in synagogue, right? He's just like, oh, I feel hello. Like, hello there.
I feel like he looks like my heart feels, if that makes any sense.
Well, so they have like, it's also, by the way, this entire date, what's hilarious about it is it shows you the perils of dating, because they wind up ultimately
Sonia. Sonia is the peril of dating.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say they wind up having a very lovely, nice, it's like a nice day where they have nice chatter and everything. But there's no indication whatsoever that Sonia is absolutely a wild woman.
Right? I know.
Like a total wild woman, who, especially when she drinks. There's no indication whatsoever. This is the danger of dating.
Yes. She comes in and she's acting so serious and intelligent and like kind of over everything, you know, and haughty. I'm like, are you kidding? Next week, you're peeing on the ground. So yeah, can I get a little bit of truth in advertising, please?
So they just have like witty repartee, you know, and so she's like, well,
not really, just rich people repartee, you know. He's like, I'm rich. She's like, I'm rich too. Well, I married a really rich guy. Well, I am a really rich guy. Aren't you something?
She goes, she's like, well, she tells us, you know, well, I know dating photos look different than what we'd look like in person, but like the first impression of him, I remember thinking Brad was going to be taller and thinner, and I guess I just focus on the loafers too much. That will happen.
Sonia, have you seen your Instagram? Okay, I love you, but you want to talk about fake pictures? She just posted one the other day, and it's like a completely different face. Like, I don't know who this person is supposed to be on there. You could just, like, half of her face is, like, over here, because you know when they do the Photoshop fixing or the auto tune or whatever, and they're like trying to like make themselves look thinner, but then you see the whole world caving in behind them.
Yes.
Because they're just bad at it. That's Sonia's whole Instagram, so please.
So they make some patter about bacon, about how, like, you know, she gets a Virgin Mary and she's like, well, I grew up on bacon. My grandmother made bacon every weekend. I mean, nothing wrong with it, right? I don't read the reports. Fake news, right? And it's like this sort of like funny repartee about bacon. And he says, cheers. And then some Virgin Mary or Bloody Mary comes out of his mouth. I was like, of course. That's the other thing. That's another reason why you should never go on a date, a televised date, because if anything ever flies out of your mouth, they're going to put it on screen. They don't, it doesn't matter how or when, they're going to do it. So of course, Brad got the tomato coming out of his mouth shot.
Yes, and there's a stick of bacon in their drink. That's why they're eating the bacon. Ugh.
Yeah.
So then she's like, wow, he doesn't believe bacon's bad for you either. We totally found common ground. Mm. Wow, bacon, common ground. This is going to last, right? So she's like, well, So she's like, well, I see oysters here. It says that they're naked oysters. I don't know what that means. And he's like, aren't they all naked? Well, I've never seen one dressed.
And for a moment, I was like, okay, we're starting to see signs of some, like, sparks here. And he lives in Chelsea, and he never goes uptown, she never goes downtown. So things are already in trouble here. And he works in, he leases retail space for a living. And she's like, oh, wow, well, my business is online. So, you know, I'm very busy right now. You know, perfume, toaster oven, nightlife catering, pennies. I actually sell pennies for $5 each. You know, it's very busy time for me.
I'm just exhausted from working all the time. Mm. Like, Sonia, you didn't even cash your check for $2,000. Okay?
I know. So then Brad's like, all right, time to hit it with my A game, the herniated disc game. He's like, well, my office closed March 13th, and then I had back surgery. It was my fourth. And then, Sonia, this is actually very funny to me, because I feel like on some way she was vetting him out a little bit, but it was also such a rich response. She goes, oh, your back went out. What happened? Skiing or tennis?
He's like, just a bad spine. You know, if you think of a disc like a jelly donut, when it herniates, the jelly comes out of the donut. She's like, oh, gross. Ew.
I'd love a jelly donut, though. Yeah, not
can you use
line.
That as lube? Also, Brad ordered pastrami and salmon carpaccio. David Burke, look, I know David Burke's very famous, but what the fuck is going on over there?
I love your disgust.
Sounds disgusting.
That.
It's disgusting. Oh. So,
you need to send over Laura Doyle to do some genetic investigations.
God.
About that kitchen.
A stick of bacon and a Bloody Mary and a pastrami. Ugh.
Bacon and Bloody Marys is a thing. That's a thing, though, Ronnie. I know. You're vegetarian now. I know it's hard to...
Well, it's not even that. It's just a big greasy stick in my I didn't like stop eating meat and suddenly I'm like, ugh! But yeah, big greasy stick.
So either way, so then Brad's last moment of redemption is that he mentions that he has a house in the south of France. So Sonia, of course, starts to, you know, perk up, but then he's like, but then I never went, so I sold it. And she's like, oh fuck.
Yeah, she's like, there's another strike. And so he's kind of looking around for the waiter. I'm like, you're the one looking around for the waiter? You just ate pastrami salmon carpaccio, sir.
On a date.
Okay. On a date.
And you didn't even stand for the lady. Date. And you didn't even bother to make it sound like you still had a house in the south of France. Like, what's, like, I mean, just try harder, sir.
I thought, yeah, it's like he's trying to get her not to like him, right? Like, yeah. Oh, you've been to the south of France? Well, you're not going with me because I sold my place there.
I know. So now we cut to the women. They're all getting dressed for Black Shabbat. And Luann is with Aston, her little dog, RIP. And she's like, did you notice that she has unfurled a full-on Ramona blue dress onto her bed for the evening? I was like, I thought for sure that would be a point of contention.
You know, I know that Real Housewives don't get paid like blockbuster movie star money, okay? But you can't just keep wearing your costumes out everywhere you go. You know, she went to get some free shit with Dorinda that season at Giovanni, and she has not worn anything else since. And you know that stuff smells like Milwaukee or whatever the last city she played in. You know, she gets that Febreze, like, smell better laundry stuff and just puts it on the armpits and then puts it back on.
We love Milwaukee, by the way.
I'm just like thinking of a city that you would go to. You know?
We had a lovely meal there. Remember that? We went and had a nice dinner there in Milwaukee. Remember, Ronnie? Remember when we had
Milwaukee's pretty fancy, actually.
It was. I was like, wow.
Right?
Yeah, it was really
fancy,
okay? So they're all getting dressed, and Sonia's assistant's telling her what Shabbat actually is, and et cetera. And so then Ramona decides to call Luann, and she's like, Luann, I'm pulling my outfits for Ebony's Black Seder dinner, okay? So this is funny because Seder is a total different event. Seder is, I mentioned this last week or whenever it was. Seder is for Passover. That's like the Passover meal. But Shabbat is different from Passover, unless they fall on the same day. But it was funny that they just kept referring to it as the Seder meal, and there was just no one there to correct them. So,
well, I was confused because people online were like, no, it's Seder. It's not Shabbat. Why does she keep calling it Shabbat? And then in this one, they're like, oh, no, it's Seder. And then so I looked up what's the difference between Seder and Shabbat. And then Wikipedia or whatever was like, well, Seder is on this day, but Shabbat is on this day. But then if this day falls on this day, then it all changes the rules because Saturday is a day of fasting and fasting is this day. And then that day is this day. And then if you do that, I'm like, this is too much.
There's
okay.
No,
you know.
Well, the ultimate.
You can't be a bimbo and be Jewish because I would forget, like, literally every. It's like, oh, what? It falls on a Friday this year? Oh, my God. It's like I'd go straight to hell because I would always forget the rules.
Well, the point is this. There was Passover was nowhere near the time of this. So it was just funny that they kept calling it that and calling it the Seder dinner. But then Luann's like, ha ha ha. Or as Sonia calls it, Black Sabbath dinner. Ha 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 ha. That admittedly is a good pun.
Good.
That's a good pun. I'm not going to lie. Black Sabbath. So Ramona's like, you know what? I just hope that it's going to be fun and that Ebony's not going to get on the soapbox and start preaching to us, okay? She said it was going to be fun, okay?
Well, you know what it is, dude. It is what it is. I've never been to Seder dinner, so I'm not really sure. I will tell you this much. Fish gotta swim, birds gotta fly.
Okay, you know what's that?
So then we go to Ebony, who's on the phone with Leah. And, you know, Ebony's trying to make Carrie James happen, and Leah's trying to make Angel happen.
They're so hard.
Neither one of them are really happening, right?
They're really two of the least charismatic dogs we've seen on Bravo. They just don't have any interesting qualities to them as dogs. I'm sorry to say
I think Kerry James is more interesting because in that scene with the investigator or whatever, Kerry James came and sat right on the couch top, right behind the lady, and she was just looking at the lady like this. Because she's one of those dogs that have the eyes where you can see the whites above the eyes. So she was like...
doing a full Angela Lansbury. Yeah. So, yeah, so Ebony's FaceTiming with Leah, and Leah's like, well, guess what? I have some news. I was exposed to COVID, and I have to quarantine for 5 days. So she can't go to the big Shabbat dinner, even though she'd been preparing all this time to do the prayers. So she's really bummed.
But don't worry, she's going to Zoom in. So it's all going to be fine. She's going to do a blessing with the candles from Zoom. So then we get to the night of. So Ebony's leaving her apartment. She's got a big fancy van thing to take them to Jersey. Yeah. And then Sonia and Ramona come and have to walk over the great nuts. Wow.
Circus of Soleil, guy. And Ramona does her thing where she's like, you know what? It took me 30 minutes to get down. Look, I don't do this just for anyone, okay? I have to travel 30 minutes to get to here. That's another hour to get to New Jersey. I don't do this for anyone, okay? And then Luann just comes onto the bus and goes, well, hello, ladies. Tradition.
If I were a rich
matchmaker, find Sonia an old man with not a house in the south of France.
Matchmaker, find me a Tom. Make him a Tom. Big strapping Tom.
Sunrise, sun. Line.
Tom. Line. Sunrise, sun, Tom.
Is this Sunrise. The little Giovanni dress I carry?
Luann, have I got a match for you? He's handsome, he's tall. Did I mention he's 62, but he's a nice man?
No, Yenta. So, yeah, so they all get up, and yeah, Lou is dressed for her cabaret, and
she's dressed for the Hanukkah ball, by the way. She is in the full-on bright blue sequin thing with, like, a white, like, Monsters, Inc. Yeti thing on, and she's got, like, a big snowflake on. So she's clearly, like, recycled, as you said, some costume from her Christmas video, like, her winter spectacular, but she's also, like, ready full-on for, like, the biggest Hanukkah celebration of all time.
Yes. So Ebony tells him that Leah was exposed potentially to COVID. And Ramona's like, whoa, you know what? I don't want to be exposed. I'm glad she's not here, guy. And Sonia feels bad.
I'm sorry to interrupt. They have so little sympathy because when she's like, well, unfortunately, dears, Leah was exposed to COVID. And they all go, oh, no. They just like quietly just are like, oh, no. Okay. They don't care.
Yeah, I think this was that time. And in the pandemic when we were like, we're all exposed to COVID. Like, who the fuck isn't exposed to COVID? We're all exposed to it. You have to like have it, you know, because then everybody's been exposed to it. At least that's how I feel. I mean, if you've ever, especially if you're in New York and you live one on top of each other and share the same air units or whatever, blowing air from that apartment through your apartment and that, I don't know. But also Ramona's wearing one of those little masks where people who didn't want to wear masks in the first place that like refused to just wear a fucking mask, they would get the face shield thing, right? And then the face shield thing, they started getting stopped at the stores because they couldn't come in with the face shield thing. So then they reinvented it again and got just the nose and mouth shield, but it's plastic. And so it just like takes your whole, it looks like everybody's doing an I'm Chubby joke. Like, ha, my name is Chubby.
It's all kind of like vaguely Hannibal Lecter-ish. And it's also just like so excessive. And I feel like draws more attention to you than if you just wore a mask, which are pretty normal, right? So yeah,
Ramona Belector.
Want some Chianti and fava beans, okay? So Ebony's like, well, dears, you're all going to meet three of my good friends after the sports coming up right now. Chuck, you have the highlights?
Yeah. So they're asking about the night. Ramona's just like, this hummus? Is this cheese? Everybody's like, yes, you know, I always bring hummus. I always bring cheese. Is this veggies? I always bring veggies. Is this hummus? Yes, Ramona, we've gone over that. Is this cheese? Yes, Ramona, it is.
Veggies?
Yes, Ramona, it is. Ramona is already just a nightmare, right?
Yeah, and she's like very upset because someone had nibbled on some of the cheese. She's like, did someone nibble on this cheese? Is there a mouse in here? And someone's like, oh, I ate that. Don't mind me. I sometimes use cheese to warm up before I break into my favorite Jewish song known as Tradition.
Papa! Can you hear me?
Papa!
Can you see me?
I love that Ebony told her, you're gonna meet three of my friends. They are black, Ramona. And she's like, what is this, cheese? Like,
Who ate my cheese?
They are black, Ramona, okay? Just telling you that right now. So she says she's bringing a leotop. And Ramona goes, where's the laptop then? She goes, well, so that she can join on Zoom. And Ramona goes, that's a little weird, okay?
You know what? It's one thing when someone wants to, like, join something and everyone's on Zoom together, like Avery and Mario, they're all on Zoom, okay? But, like, when eight people at a big table and one person's face is over there, it's a weird dynamic. I'm sorry. And I actually kind of agree, believe it or not. I mean, I think that, like, there's value in having someone there, but given that it's Leah and Leah's trying to interact with the rest of the meal as if she's right there, honestly, it is kind of annoying. I'm sorry. I'm going to say that.
Yeah, well, it certainly gets to be that way. My God. So they FaceTime Leah, and Ramona's like, whoa, Leah, you know what? You're going to be on Zoom. That means you don't even have to wear any pants because you're going to be on Zoom. Nobody's going to see you. You don't have to wear pants if you don't want to. And then Ebony's like, okay, Leah, we'll talk to you soon. And Ramona goes, whoa, that was funny. That was funny. Like, whoa. Her Zoom material that she was trying out.
Yeah. Whoa, Leah, I loved you in that movie Far and Away, because that's just what you are tonight, okay?
Speaking of Nicole Kidman, okay? You're just like Nicole Kidman, the movie Far and Away. Otherwise, notice a lady who's colored the same on her face and her head, okay?
So now they arrive in Summit, New Jersey, and Ebony goes, welcome to Summit. And Luann goes, awesome. As far as I can tell, they don't have any posters of me up on any playhouses, so why the fuck are we here?
So Luann's like, well, should we take something inside? So they just start robbing the van to take the stuff inside and act like they brought something.
Yeah.
And then Luann still is very much in her Christmas video like state of mind, because she comes out in her costume and she's like, look at me picking up snow and making a tiny little snowball. Ha ha, girls. Snowballs with the girls. Ha ha.
And she starts picking up icy ass snowball. You know those snowballs were hard, right? Because that was like icy snow that's been there for a while. So she picks it up and she just starts pelting people, which was surprising. But I was excited. I was like, please just get Ramona in the face. This is what we all need. And unfortunately, Luann just like throws it and just goes by Ramona's face. She goes, what happened? What did I do? What happened? She unfortunately does not get hit, but she's very disoriented by it.
So they're acting crazy, and Ebony's like, okay, guys, let's act right tonight. And Cindy goes, I'm off the chain already! Because this ride over there took 70 minutes. So there's some wasty-basty going on over here, yes. Right? So then they go in and we meet Archie, and everyone's like, Shabbat Shalom, bitch. And Archie is a tall blonde lady. She's like bleach blonde, and she's just like kind of like that goofy lady. I think we all know one of these goofy ladies. He's like, you know what I do? I raise 7 children and then I teach art, but not just any kind of art, pot painting. I do it at the Montessori school.
Yeah, she has this really interesting house full of interesting design decisions that I think are supposed to be like very artsy. Like she has a lot of things in cages, like a lot of vessels, like pots or like jugs in cages and things in lockers. And I was like, either this is she invested in some cages because she wanted nothing to be broken given that this cast was coming over, or she has just a very unique design aesthetic. It was like lots of grays, but
lots of black purple, light, like black lighting,
purple,
right?
Purple neon accents. It was very much like Sir meets like metal.
Yeah. And so Archie's like, well, guess what, ladies? I'm a hugger. Get over here. I'm a hugger. And Ramona's like, well, thank you for having us, crazy lady. Okay. You know what? Here's some champagne. And she hands her this bottle of champagne, and the foil is already taken off the top.
Yeah.
Like, Ramona was probably going to open it on the way in and just start chugging it.
And then Sonya just takes it right. Like, and then Archie has it, and then Sonya just takes the champagne out of Archie's hands and was like, I'm going to the kitchen. And she just takes it to the kitchen.
Yeah, but she doesn't even make it to the kitchen. And so Archie follows her, and she goes, well, I made it as far as the dining room. We just took it off the bus. We had a lot of good stuff on there.
Yeah. So then we meet Ebony's friends, Dion, Brian, and Lenara. And Ebony went to Israel with Lenara and Brian, and then Dion is just like an amazing woman or something like that. So we meet them, these three people who have been dragged to New Jersey to witness this shit show that's about to happen.
And Sonya's like, well, you're going to explain everything, right? Because my best friend Michael Lorber is a Jew, so I already know a lot. And of course, every shiksk has had a Jewish boyfriend once or twice, right? Mm-hmm. And so Ebony tells us, she tells them, she's like, listen, Archie runs Jew Belong, okay? You know why? Because everyone belongs. Jew Belong. And she said she hosted a Shabbat dinner for Black membership leaders of the community and wanted to hear our stories. So then Ramona's over there already at the table, and there's challah on the table. She goes, well, this is bread blessed with candles. You know what? I already know that because I have lots of Jewish girlfriends, okay? You know what? It's like, I love your place. It's like very eclectic, modern looking. It's very north, south, southeast. I love that your bread is facing east, south, north, okay?
Yeah, she goes, it's very unusual. I kind of like it. That's like, that's nice. And I also, yeah, like,
she obviously hates it.
She obviously hates it. And when she says, like, oh, I see the bread to bless with the candles, and Archie goes, oh honey, yes. And Ramona goes, oh honey, yes. And then when she says, I have lots of Jewish girlfriends, she pulls out one of her signature moves, which is to pretend that she's fencing, like in the Olympics. She goes, she takes her hand, she goes, oh yes, girlfriend. I have a Jewish girlfriend. Does like a swirl with her hand, and then she points. It's like, she's like, I have an epé, and I'm pointing at you because I'm saying I've got Jewish girlfriends. Yeah. Yeah.
So she's like, yeah, you know what? Do you know what? Look at these napkins. What are these supposed to be? Napkins? So she picks up these napkins, and they're huge. You know, they're like Sonya. That guy that Sonya was dating. What's that guy? Was he who owned the bread place, and he had like these huge ass napkins? Guy.
Yeah. Yes. Well, actually, I think those were Sonya's napkins.
Those were Sonya's napkins, right?
And the whole thing was that they were supposed to be big because you wiped your mouth and then you rotated, wiped some more. So you need to have them big. So there's enough space for you to have like multiple mouth wipings.
Yeah. So they were huge. And Ramona's like, whoa, what are these? And she goes, oh, those are napkins and they're best for. And she goes, oh, what? This is napkins? It's a placemat. Okay. It's a placemat. You know what? I could make it a hot top. Look at me. I'm in a hot top. So she's like wearing it. And Archie's like, but I made those. Poor Archie, you know?
And she's bless like, her. You don't think, she's like, Ramona, you don't think that these are, they're the best, do you? You don't think they're the best. She goes, you know what? You don't even match the napkins. You don't even match the napkins. She goes, well, I don't want to match the napkins. She goes, you know what you are? You're a rebel, okay? You'd like to do your own path. You beat your own drummer. You make napkins that don't match. You're a rebel, okay?
You want to beat drummers on your own path. Okay, that's fine. You know what? Right now we call them rebels. Back when I was growing up, we called you guys sluts. Okay, but you do whatever you want. Lady who doesn't like matching napkins, that do it.
So Sonya's over talking to Ebony's friends, and she's saying how she was really hoping Archie. She thought Archie was going to be a guy. So when Ebony told her that Archie was wearing sequins, she thought it was going to just be a fabulous gay guy in sequins. So she was really upset about that. And so Ebony's like, well, Miss Sonya just met my dear friend Devin, who's a matchmaker, and she just matched Sonya with a wonderful, wonderful man. We have an interview with him coming up just after the break. Thanks so much.
We'll go ahead and discuss that at dinner. And Sonya's like, no, let's talk about it now. Okay, well, I have these friends here who like to recycle. I mean, let's just even remove Sonya and Lou from the conversation, because when me and my husband's wedding invitations went out, no one even knew we were dating. They were shocked. I mean, they were kind of shocked that he was even still alive. He is 90. But, you know, you've got to keep that man under wraps, because someone will try and trip you up unless, you know, try
unless you're lucky and you roll down that aisle no matter what. But they'll try and steal your man, ladies.
You're just like,
She meant like if Lou would always just go right down the aisle. So then Sonia's like, well, you know, Ebony spent a lot of time with me getting to know who I am. And Ebony goes, yeah, we're both introverts. And then her Ebony's friend goes, who is an introvert? Like, being like, Ebony, shut the fuck up. Like, you're like, all you do is be on TV, right? So then Luann shows up. And so Sonia, of course, doesn't want to talk about men with Luann because she knows that, like, the moment that she likes someone, Luann's going to steal it, right? Steal the guy. So Luann shows up and Sonia goes, oh, let's just change the subject. Well, why are we changing the subject, huh?
She goes, because we're introverts and you're an extrovert.
She goes, you're an introvert, huh? If I'm a donkey if you're an introvert. Ha ha!
Ben, I'd like to put that in the cabaret. Let's do some introvert, extrovert material with donkeys. Okay, great, great, great. And then
Luann tells us, I don't know any introverts that. And then we see Sonia smashing on the glass tray at a party and then in cabaret-esque. And then dressed like Marie Antoinette and going, I don't even have a petticoat on.
So then they move all to the table, which, by the way, yes, like Sonia, you are not an introvert. I'm sorry. Maybe an ambivert, but a boozivert. She gets her energy from the booze. So now they go to the table and Luann sees the challah and she's like, well, that bread looks amazing. I mean, I don't know what that is, but it looks amazing. Is it called lumpy bread? Lumpy bread? Is that what it's called? Lumpy bread? It's called challah. Ha, is this Heather Thompson bread? No, it's challah. Is it sweet? No, you know what? Let me taste it. It makes the best French toast. Am I allowed to say French? I just never know these days, okay? And you know what? Like, it's like in Ukraine, we have something called Pascha. Okay, it's like a Pascha, right? It's like Pascha, right? And so then all Ramona says is Pascha. Pascha, Pascha, Pascha.
And Archie's like, yes, well, it is kind of like Pascha. I already said it, okay? Napkin like, lady?
Yeah, well, it is called Pascha. You know, there is a bread called Pascha.
I said it already. Pascha, okay?
Pascha, okay? Pascha. Will there be lamb curry?
Pascha, Pascha,
lamb,
Pascha,
lamb.
This is already a nightmare. This is already just a total clusterfuck, right? So they're served a little tiny scallion pancake. And Archie's like, okay, well, when do we need to bring on Leah? And Sonia's like, do I have to have
wine? I don't want wine. I just want tequila soda. Just give me a tequila soda, all right?
Pascha. You want Pascha? Because that's Ukrainian bread, okay?
And so then they bring out Leah on the computer. They put her on a laptop or whatever. So Ebony's like, okay, Archie's going to start us. And I would like to, first of all, thank my new friends. There's Luann over there. There's Queen Ramona, who's currently stuffing her face. Okay. Someone dug it a little early there. And then, of course, there's Leah, who really wants to be here. So she's here via FaceTime. Leah's going to lead us in a blessing for the lighting of the candles. Leah, it's on to you. And so Archie's like, well, I'm so excited. Okay. We're going to create a sacred space for everyone to be. And I created this. It is called Jew Along because get it? Everybody can, you know, just Jew Along, Jew Belong, right? Because we all belong. And so she's awkward too because she's reading a prepared statement.
She's excited for this big moment on television where she can promote her organization. And she's like, well, one of the most important things about Jew Belong is, excuse me. And then Leah like rings the phone because her laptop connection breaks up. So now the phone rings, right? And so now Leah's interrupting and Ebony's like, okay, honey. Okay, dear, hold on. She's talking. So just be quiet, dear. Okay,
we're good. Okay, so I wanted to rebrand Judaism to be more welcome to people. I feel welcome.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I feel so more. God, I feel more welcome than John in a wigwam. Am I right, everyone? I feel super open.
Great, because it's Jew Belong night.
Jew Belong. I have a question.
Yes.
Hello,
the lady in the Hanukkah outfit. Yes.
Thank you, napkin lady. This is a stupid question, but do you have to be Jewish to belong to Jew Belong?
Okay. No, you know what? That is the most non-stupid question in the world. I mean, remember, you did ask what challah was, so you're already, don't worry, you already said a pretty stupid question. How does the man not know what challah is, by the way? If you live in New York and you don't know what challah is, listen.
It's a shame.
Listen. This is the most non-stupid question in the world, okay? Because tonight you're Jewish because you're here in my home. A terrible home, also, I'd like to say. I mean, you call this a playhouse? I mean, what? A party of five people? I'm used to playing to thousands of people. I mean, this is ridiculous. Am I right?
Kind of dinner theater is this? Scallion pancake? Why, I never. So Ebony's like, okay, everybody, let's raise your hand if you're not Jewish. Literally everybody raises. There's no Jewish people here except for Archie.
Not even the cameraman. So
right. So Leah's like, guys, I can only see candles. Like, I feel like I've been shrunken down. Like, I can't even see what's going on.
It's like, so this is, of course, I think at this point, we've now, after a year and a half of this pandemic situation, we all know the person on the phone FaceTiming in who is now being really demanding about everything because they were FaceTiming in, right? So
this is just so Leah, right? Yeah. So then Ramona's like, you know what, Leah? We're doing the best we can, okay? It's like, Ma, I just feel like this little character on the table. Like, I don't want to be lined up with gefilte fish. God, I mean, it's going to be hard to hear me, right? Can anybody even hear me up there? You know what? We want to include you, and we're really trying, but it's hard when we're here and you're not there, okay? You know what? We can't think of you the whole time, okay? We're thinking of me. Okay.
Yeah. You know what? We all love you and adore you. And I think it's great that we're putting you on FaceTime, but we can't make sure every second you're okay because, like, we're in the moment, babe. Here, let me aim you at the Pasca. Okay. Look at the Pasca. Look at the Pasca.
And Cindy goes, she's just being a bitch, Leah. And Archie's like, okay, well, let's go ahead and do a Shabbat shot, everybody. And he's like, sorry, but the sound is breaking in and out. I can't hear what you're saying.
Yeah, because now Archie's like trying to give like a nice, like, I want to thank you all for coming. I can't hear you guys. I can't. What's going on? Can I hear?
Leah, like, you're interrupting. You're being rude, okay? You know what? Lower her voice. Turn down the volume, okay?
And Sonny's like, you shut up, Ramona. You just shut up.
I love Ramona saying that someone's being rude for interrupting when that's all she does this entire episode.
This poor lady has not gotten one sentence out yet. These ladies have not shut up.
Not one, and she's barely even been able to explain what Shabbat is. So now actually Ebony starts to explain it and everything. And because I think they're reading from this like book that she's prepared or a pamphlet that she's prepared. So they're explaining what Shabbat is, this, you know, the day of rest, etc.
So yeah, then, she goes, so we need to take the day of rest. And then Ramona, by the way, during this whole speech, is grabbing everyone's hands, going, like being super deep about it, squeezing their hands. And then Ramona goes, you know what, Ebony? That's what you need to take in. You need a break, girlfriend. Okay. You need to take a break. And Archie's like, okay, and now Leah can light the candles.
So Leah's like, Ebony, just like make sure, like when you light the candles, like you just don't blow them out, okay? Just put it down. So Ramona has the phone now. Ramona's like, you know what? She's done this before. She's been to Israel and back. She's more of a pro than you are at this point, okay? Miss non-Jewish, okay?
Stop, Ramona. You're being messy right now. And Luann's face is just like... She's over it, you know. She's like, I'm not saying anything in this moment. So Ramona goes, well, you know what? I almost converted, so I know a lot too. And Cindy says, yeah, that's because you were going to marry that rich Jewish guy. She's like, I'd say he was rich. Well, he wasn't poor.
If I were a rich man, la da 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 da, I would not marry Ramona Singer. Da 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 da. Thank you.
You know, I was engaged to a Jewish man, and he wanted me to convert, and so I went through all the lessons and everything, and then I realized that this gentleman never said to me, you know what? I appreciate you switching your religion or learning what North is and what South is. So I dumped him, okay? Dodged a bullet with that one.
Meanwhile, she probably just was like talking to like the guy who at the bagel store who like makes her a bagel every day. It's like, whoa, I guess we're in a relationship. I guess I'm going to convert for him. Okay. So then Leah does the prayer. It's very nice. But he, okay.
She's doing all the hand motions, right?
Well, she's doing so she's like... the light and everything. Okay. So here's the thing. Okay. Look. I'm very happy that she's being spiritually fulfilled and that she's going on this Jewish journey. I'm always happy to welcome another member of the tribe. I know she put a lot of work in on the prayer and I'm really happy for her. And I just feel like maybe I'm just being super just snobby right now, but it's like such a basic prayer. It's like literally like the one of the most basic prayers out there. And they're acting like she just had a bat mitzvah. Cause then Ramon's like, what, Thea?
That's what I wrote too. I was like, you don't get a trip to Hawaii because you got through like the first part of a bat mitzvah.
Well, it's like she basically said grace, right? Like that's like the Jewish equivalent, right? What's like a typical thing that you would say for grace, right? Like you'd be like, thank you for the
grub a dub dub. Thanks for the grub. Yay, God.
And so she just does like a very lovely, she has a lovely version. She studied it and everything. I'm very proud of her. But they're like, you know what, Thea? That was beautiful. And Sonia's like, Leah, I'm just like, I'm so touched. I mean, your commitment has blown me away. You learned a line of Hebrew. That was commitment. And I am just very, very touched right now. Thank you.
And Leah's like, yeah, singing the prayer wasn't easy. And it's meaningful to me that Sonia was like being nice about it. This is beautiful. Thank you so much. Really? Because I messed up a little. No, it's beautiful. And the man goes, Leah, boom, you can sing.
It's like, mwah. It was like this weird, like, swamp from one singer to another. You can sing. And guess what? I didn't even ask you for a release to listen to your Hebrew song. Mwah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Archie's like, oh, that was beautiful. Okay. So Ebony, I just want to say, sit down. Is that what you're going to say? No, Ebony. I just want to say, I think you're a beautiful person. You know, I mean, there's just so much hate and anti-Semitism in the world. And there's just so many people who wouldn't even come to Shabbat dinner. And I'm not kidding. And Ramona goes, I go there all the time. Yeah. I do it all the time, okay? And she's like, and then Ebony, you know, you're opening your heart. And I've been worried about the relationship between Black and Jewish communities. And Ramona goes, yeah. And you know what? Italians and Jews are friends too, okay?
They have a lot in common. Also, Italians and Jews, okay? They have a lot in common, all right? So he's like, yeah, but we're talking about Ebony. She's like, well, you know what? I'm trying to include all the traditions, okay? The other people, like, everybody get along. Everybody. I'm like, of course, leave it to Ramona to do an All Lives Matter on Shabbat.
Oh, my God. At a Jewish dinner. All my, cultures, what is wrong all, with her?
All Shabbat, what is wrong all with Shabbats her? Matter. And she's like, no, but we all are similar, right? It's like Jews are similar to the Italians, similar to Greeks, similar to all sorts of people. Like, Ramona, stop it. Stop speaking. So oh Ebony, God. Ebony is so losing then, her
yeah,
mind.
Ebony's like, well, when you're an oppressed people, it's because she's trying to answer the original question, which why is there tension in the Black and Jewish communities, right? So she's like, well, when you're an oppressed people, sometimes it's easy to join other forms of oppression for your own survival. And she's, which I think is a great response, right? And so, this lady's like, uh-huh, mm-hmm, like she's gonna cry. And Ramona's just rolling her eyes.
She's rolling her eyes. They catch Ramona going, well, and my favorite part though is that when Ebony then says, the only person that wins when those communities are at odds is white supremacy, or the only thing that wins is white supremacy. And then it cuts to Luann nodding her head like, yes, yes. I'm like, Luann, don't nod your head as if you did not just yell, get so mad in Salem when white supremacists, oh, well, I'm not a white supremacist. No. But now she's like, yes, exactly. Like I've always felt. Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, my God. So Ebony's like, there's nothing that I won't do to advance these communities, right? Everyone was going, we all want that. We all do, okay? We all do, okay? And Luann goes, yes, of course, Ramona, of course. She goes, yes, but the difference is, Ramona, the only difference is that I have paid that price. Oh, yeah? Well, we all have, okay?
We all pay the price in different ways. For instance, did you know that I went to Neiman Marcus yesterday and they wouldn't even mark down anything just because I was Christian, okay? So I actually paid a literal price, right? We all paid the price.
So then Ebony is like, well, I believe Ramona, like a lot of well-meaning people, has trouble sitting in the pain of marginalized people, you know, which, duh, like we knew. But if anything has taught us, if we've learned anything this season, it's that, right? Because every time you bring up anything, Ramona just freaks out. So she's doing that now. So Ramona, still just getting worse and worse, goes, you know what? How about when I went to college, how the Jewish people hated me? How about that? And so he goes, Ramona, just stop, Ramona, shut up. Just say, stop, Ramona. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the Black. And Ramona's like, well, why can't we just talk about everybody? Okay? Why does it have to be Black?
And Ebony's like, well, what Ramona's trying to bring up. And then Leah loses her mind. She's like, Ramona, are you freaking kidding me? It's okay that it's not about white people right now. And she's like, you know what? I'm talking about life in general. In life in general, Jewish people hate me, okay? So then Leah tells us, she goes, Jewish people hated you in college. I'm sure everyone hated you in college.
Yeah. And Ramon is like, everybody needs to get along. And Sonny goes, we're in a Shabbat dinner. And then the guy goes, a black Shabbat dinner. And Sonny goes, well, an inclusive Shabbat dinner. Inclusive. So see, here, Sonia is getting away with so much as well here, as usual, because Ramona is so much worse, but Sonia is still like a monster too.
Yeah. So now Ramona
gets like black Shabbat inclusive. It is inclusive.
I heard about that word. So Ramona now gets more of her origin story of, you know, young formative years filled with discrimination. And she goes, well, you know what? I came to New York. And Jewish people shunned me. They shunned me because I was Christian. What was she like trying to like, like, did she like walk into a synagogue or something? Like, what did she talk about? She was shunned by the Jews. And so Archie's like, okay, well,
she's like, it wasn't until I became a buyer at Filene's basement that a Jewish person even said hello to me. Okay. You know what? And you know why she said hello to me? Because she thought I was Filene. I said, I'm not Filene. Okay. I'm Christian Ramona. And then she threw a bagel in my face. Okay. Shunned, I tell you. Shunned. I was shunned.
Okay. I couldn't go anywhere. Okay. I went to the menorah store and I said, hello, can I get a Christmas tree? And they said, this is menorahs only. And I said, whoa, I can't believe you're discriminating me. Oh my God. So
and Archie's like, we'll talk about that. She goes, a bagel in my head, okay? I was boycotted, okay? Boycotted, okay? I was discriminated. Do you understand? Do you understand? I would always think to myself, why aren't I Jewish? Why aren't I Jewish?
She goes, I'm upset. No one would listen to me. By the way, I love her saying that she was boycotted. Like, what do you mean? Like, how was Ramona boycotted? What happened? You know what? I went to the bakery. I went to the Jewish bakery. I said, I'll have a Pascha, please. And they said, well, what about a challah? I said, no, I want a Pascha because I'm Ukrainian. They said, well, we only sell challahs. And you know what? I realized in that moment I was not welcomed there by the Jews, okay? I'm sorry.
What an idiot. I was boycotted. I was discriminated. And so Luann goes, oh, so now we've gone from talking about religious persecution to Ramona persecution at college. I mean, it can't get worse.
And then so now Ramona's annoyed. She's like, you know what? I'm upset, okay? Because no one wants to listen to me. No one wants to listen to me at all, okay? So she gets up and she just.
And Archie goes, I want to listen to you. Come on, don't leave. I want to talk to you. So she walks off and she's telling us, when I go to other Shabbat dinners with friends, we share thoughts and opinions. But I guess I'm in trouble for doing that, okay? So she walks off to the kitchen and Archie goes, should I go talk to her? And Luann goes, actually, sure, you probably have a better way.
And then she's, but give it a second. You know, just give it a second. So.
And Archie says, okay, well, I'll go apologize for the Jews.
Yeah, I'll apologize for the Jews.
So meanwhile, Sonia's going, bah, 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 bah. You know, this is what I say about Shabbat dinner. Like, she's at the top of her lungs screaming and yelling about something. And so Ebony's like, listen, I'll tell you this. Ramona is gone, and that's probably for the best. And Leah goes, Ramona left?
At which point Ramona reappears. She goes, you know what? I went to pee, okay? I can't pee. Are you kidding me? Is this like me being in college when the Jews wouldn't let me go into the bathroom because I was boycotted against? Oh my God. So,
and Ramona is standing up, like waving her finger around, and Leah's screaming at her from the phone, going, that is unacceptable. And Ramona goes, peed, okay? I was on a bus for 40 minutes, okay? You pee every hour, okay?
Leah's like, you are acting like a psycho, says the woman who's screaming on FaceTime in front of strangers. You're acting like a psycho. Sit down. You're not looking good right now. You're not. Well, you know what, Leah? I had to go pee, okay? I guess I can't pee. I guess the things that you can't do at Shabbat now are have conversation, share, and pee, okay? I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know what they should call this? Shabnot. Okay? Because that's all I'm hearing, okay? And Leah's like, I do not understand why Ramona is so triggered by hearing someone else's history. Like, and so Sonny goes, I want to hear less of you, Ramona. She goes, I haven't peed in 2.5 hours. Okay?
You know what? I apologize that I brought up my feelings because I bonded with you and I was sharing my feelings. I'm sorry that I was sharing my childhood of discrimination, okay? I'm sorry. So Archie's still trying to be. She's like, no, honey. She's like, I'm sorry if I insulted you, okay? Much how I was insulted when I was boycotted from the Pascha store, okay? So
Archie's like, I'm not even a little bit insulted. I just feel sad because clearly the Jewish community left you. She goes, you know what? Not now. I mean, now they're great. Guy. And Sonya's like, well, she did have some sex with some Jewish guys. So there's that.
Yeah. I did not stop it. Okay. Listen, I wished I was born Jewish. Okay. And Ebony goes, okay, but you weren't. And what we're not going to do. And Ebony can't even finish her sentence because Ramona goes, I was upset that I wasn't born Jewish. I cry at night because I wish I was Jewish. I cry at night. I'm like, Ramona, you could also just convert at this point. I cry at night, but maybe that's just the pee coming out of my eyes since I'm not allowed to pee, okay?
My vagina cries at night, okay? And Ebony's like, Ramona, we are not going to make this about you. And the guy is just chugging his margarita back.
Just chugging. Like, and by the way, I love how Ramona talks about, when I came to New York, I was shunned. She is literally making it sound like she was in an American Tale. Like, she came across on a boat from the old country, and then she worked in a sweatshop, and she was discriminated against by some weird, like, Jewish powers. Like, Ramona, this is... You came over, like, in the 80s as a Christian lady.
Came She's over, ridiculous. So they're still highway. Screaming. They're still screaming and yelling. She's like, do you understand? I still cry at night. And the guy chugs. And then Sonya's like, do not steer this conversation to yourself, Ramona. She's like, you know what? I was sharing, okay? And Sonya goes, Ramona, we're going to listen to the blacks and the Jews.
Can we please listen to the blacks and the Jews? And then the friends are like, the blacks and the Jews. And the guy goes, I need another margarita. So Ebony is horrified because she's learning now that the hard way. See, here's the thing. She's learned the hard way about what happens when these women stop being polite and start getting real, right? Because they were relatively behaved at her Harlem event, right? They were generally well behaved, but now they just don't care anymore. So now she's really seeing what happens. And she thought she was going to have another like moment where everyone would be elevated, you know, which was like very well intentioned. But now they don't give a fuck anymore about about like manners or that there may be other people there that, you know, or that they could learn anything. They're just drunk and yelling at each other.
Oh, my God. So Ebony's mortified, of course, and she's also mortified with Sonya because Sonya's not much better. She's not as offensive, but she's still pretty bad. Loud and so then Leah is like, Ebony, let's go to another room and talk. So then they leave, which is kind of what Leah just got mad at Ramona about.
Exactly.
Like, you still can't just get up and leave the table. That's fucking rude, too. So then you've got Leah screaming from the phone, too. They're all a fucking nightmare, right?
It's a nightmare. And Ramona goes, can we have the first course? I'm getting really hungry.
And Archie goes, like, no. And she goes, we're not doing Shabbat, though. We're supposed to do Shabbat. Like, she goes, I'm going to the kitchen, okay? I'm hungry. You know what? You see? Look at this. I lost 3 pounds I gained from Thanksgiving, okay? But you know what? I didn't eat all day. Very hungry. And she leans into the kitchen. She's like, do you have any food? I want real food. Okay?
Do you have any chicken or protein? Okay, do you have any chicken or protein? And then when she says that she hasn't eaten all day, then they show a montage of her snacking like crazy in the van.
Is this hummus? Is this cheese?
So then Leah and Ebony are talking. This is like all cross-cut back and forth. And Leah's like, how does someone get so upset about something that's so important? And Ebony's like, it's Shabbat! And Ebony goes, you know, and there's a white woman leading the night. Like, why are you still so uncomfortable? So now Leah is like,
well, yeah, at least it was good for this. It showed that Ramona is not just ignorant towards black people. She's literally ignorant towards everybody. I mean, this is just crazy. So yeah, Leah's like, this is offensive against Judaism and against what Ebony's trying to do. I mean, Ramona has the IQ of a walnut.
Yeah. So then we see Ramona in the kitchen now, and there's like staff there that has like arranged. The caterers are there, and they've got all these plates. And she's like, you know what? I need food. Okay. What do they tell you to do? Okay. I want food. And they're like, well, you can have some more scallion pancakes. She's like, no, I don't want snacks. That's fattening. Okay. I just want food. So now she's bossing around the caterers that she didn't even hire to get some food instead of just sitting. And it was because of her making so much noise that the Shabbat part has taken so long that she hasn't gotten her food.
Yes, so they won't just let the dinner happen. Like, they're stopping it at every second. So when Ramona's telling her, no, those are snacks. You know what? Those are fattening. I can't be skinny like you. Like, she's all mean to the poor girl who's working there. And Sonya goes, you know what? This represents a lot of the people who get comfortable and defensive talking about things like this. Like, oh, yeah, there's Sonya. The Dalai Lama over there who is just screaming, she fucks Jewish guys sometimes.
Yeah. Wow, what an episode. I mean, it's great. This is just so good. So funny.
Absolutely bonkers.
What a nightmare. A nightmare. We knew it would be. We knew it would be. Black Shabbat. We always knew Black Shabbat was going to be a nightmare. And it lived
but
up to
But to
Ramona.
This level, I mean, this level, this is
That's
pretty
not even done.
Bad.
There's still more Black Shabbat next week.
Oh, God. Lord help us.
What a nightmare.
Well, I laughed. Oh horrified. God, I laughed. It was nice to have a good horrifying laugh.
Yeah, I mean, I've been cracking up for several weeks now with this show. I mean, it's hilarious. We're gonna look back someday and we're gonna be like, wow, this was
yeah.
I always remembered the season as being not a great season, but we're gonna come back and we're gonna remember episodes like this and be like, oh God, there was some good shit on this season. That's for sure.
Well, just a warning of what's coming up next season. Dorinda was on Watch What Happens last night saying, and Andy goes, we know, how do you feel about your year of pause? So now they're just calling it her pause year, which means she's definitely coming back next year, right? Because he basically said it's just a pause. And let me just say, Dorinda has not learned a goddamn thing. She is so full of herself. She takes no accountability for anything. He's like, what is your best memory of the show? And she's like, make it nice. You know, because people say that to me all the time. They say, it's like, not your favorite catchphrase that you came up with, Dorinda. You know, it's like, make it nice. You know, so people came up to me in London. They say, make it nice. And even the audience wasn't really laughing. They were just kind of looking at her like, cringe. Fuck. Awkward.
Well, you know, I'm a Roni apologist. I'm always going to be on the side of Roni. And I think the show is actually all right without her, but I'm always going to welcome her back because I mean, could you imagine?
And always. Andy was saying things like, well, this would have been better with Dorinda or something like that. Like, would you have been able to reel in Ramona and stuff like that? No, Dorinda would have, like, would it have been funnier? Possibly, because that fight would have probably gotten bloody.
Yeah, it would have. If Dorinda were there, it would have been a full-on nightmare, man.
Yeah.
Well, I do hope they bring her back. And it's no shade to the current cast, because I think, again, like I just said, I've been very entertained by the season. But Dorinda is just, she's special, and there's no reason for us not to have special people in our lives.
Well, there you go. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll be back tomorrow with some Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yeah. Talk to you next time. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C.
Dana Do.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay. She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya. The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie. Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica 500 Days of Summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthew Sisters.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.